Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday morning. That means we get to check in with Dr. Daniel Harmelink, Concordia Historical Institute for Historically Speaking. What's historical today, Dr. Harmelink?
A lot of historical things today.
A lot of historical things, aside from us.
Aside from us. There's always something great to talk about. And again, you know, we move forward by also keeping our eyes on our history and where God has taken us. So first of all, I want to thank those who came out for the walking tour of that historic block between Jefferson and Miami and Ohio and Winnebago, not Winnebago, the RV people, Winnebago, the street in St. Louis. So if you were not able to come to that walking tour, if you would like the kind of self-guided walking tour map, we have plenty of those available. Just give us a call, 314-505-7900, and we'll send that off to you, and you can see the rich history that God provided for the LCMS down in that one block.
If you look at the KFUO archives from last, I think it was last week, or was it the week before that we talked about that?
You posted that, right?
Sarah, our producer, posted a nice picture, well, a little glimpse of that map to give you an idea of what that tour is like.
It's very artistically photographed. Thank you.
Well, Sarah does a great job.
Yeah, someone said that they're going to take theirs and laminate it and make it into a
placemat.
So when they spill their cereal milk on it or something, it doesn't get ruined. But again, so quickly we forget, you know, almost 170 years of God working through the Lutheran community there in downtown St. Louis. So again, thanks for all who came out. God was gracious, and with the rain held off. And we did a little walking tour, and at the end, thank God in a prayer for all His mercy that He's shown through those touchstones.
Well, what do you have for today?
Well, today I thought again we'd talk about these faces of the Reformation. Again, there's a fantastic resource, and the big news is it's free. It's all free. Now that I've got everyone's attention, right.
I like that word. Like the gospel, it's free.
Once a month, we're highlighting a person, a personality of the Reformation, and this will go on until October of next year, 2017. So in previous months, here on Thursday morning, we've been talking about Katie von Bora, Hans and Marguerite Luther, Martin's parents, Frederick the Wise, Pope Leo X, Jan Hus, Erasmus of Rotterdam. We talked about John Tetzel and was the last portrayal of John Tetzel. How historically accurate was that in the last Luther movie? We'll see with this new Luther movie coming out how Tetzel is portrayed. Unfortunately, in our society, movies, especially if they're grounded in history, the producers of these movies often are more fixated on portraying the bad guy than the hero in the film, right? So, like the film Batman, everyone remembers the Joker. I mean, Batman was just along for the ride, right? So, when it comes to the history of the Reformation, John Tetzel is not the big guy, but he did poke the monk Martin Luther to actually take a stand on what was God-pleasing and what was scriptural. This, in September, this month, we have a new person, right? And that is Johannes Gutenberg. So that name probably rings a bell with most of the listeners out
most
there.
Most definitely.
Gutenberg, breaking news, Gutenberg was not a Lutheran. But he helped. By God's grace, he helped set the stage for the Reformation. So coming up in February of next year, CHI is going to present an exhibit, and the subtitle of that exhibit is Pressed into Service by the Word of God, and it's going to talk about the press, right? So when you think of press, I mean, that you can think of a thousand different things.
Well, early forms of media.
Exactly. Usually we think of the press, you know, those who report the news. But in the 16th century, at the time of the Reformation, the printing press was in its infancy, and still many, many people thought it was just a passing fad. That the technology, if you want to call it that, the established technology of handwriting, hand copying manuscripts on parchment. It's much more durable than paper. So,
really?
So it's not, you know, we say Johannes Gutenberg, without the Gutenberg press, without the printing press, the Reformation wouldn't have taken off. But it's Gutenberg, his genius was bringing technologies that were already available, but they hadn't been put together yet. So paper had been around for a while. The monks or the church, it wasn't until the 15th century that the church actually put important documents on paper. They continued to prefer parchment in the old way of doing things.
Still today.
That it would last.
Yeah.
Paper, it's hard to write on. You know, it's harder to write on, and it just doesn't. It doesn't last. But Gutenberg saw that paper was necessary to have a medium that could be mass-produced. Now, parchment doesn't work very well on a printing press.
True. And it doesn't work well here either.
And the other technology that Gutenberg brought into his shop was this ink. So the ink used when a monk sits down and hand copies a manuscript is a completely different ink than what's used on the printing press. So it was bringing all of this together that actually started this mass media. So you think of Jan Hus, we just mentioned him, right?
Yeah, the proto-Reformation.
Burned at the stake, and unfortunately, Hus did not have the luxury of seeing his work printed in mass distributed. Not so with Luther. So we see a lot of parallels between Jan Hus and Martin Luther, you know, about 100 years difference. But the printing press and this new technology, the ink, the paper, the press, the printing press, coming together. And now Luther and the reformers had at their disposal something that could get out the word much more quickly. So these Flugschriften, these pamphlets that Luther produced, if you assume that, okay, you know, how much is a run on a printing press? Let's say 1,200, okay, 1,200 pieces. There is today surviving over 4,000 different printings of all kinds of Luther's works. So you think, you know, there's estimates that there were 3 million, 4 million of these pamphlets, this literature, flooding Europe at the time of Luther. During his lifetime and just after his death, Luther's writings made up a full third of what everyone was printing.
Wow.
Talk about a game changer, right?
Can we say revolutionary?
It was revolutionary. But again, you know, the authorities, especially the church authorities, thought, this doesn't have legs. This is not going to be sustainable. And unfortunately, I make this point when it comes to the Reformation coins and medals. The Luther and the Reformers made use of these technologies to proclaim, to give witness to distribute the proper understanding of the Word of God much better than the Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church tried to use the printing press and even coins and medals to get out their message as far as Luther and the Reformers, you know, were heretics and don't listen to them. But they were not effective. So when we've talked about this before, when Luther was kidnapped, quote unquote, and spirited off to the Wartburg, this was because of the emperor's edict. And remember, who became an outlaw after the Diet of Worms? It was not just Luther, but that ban, that warning, or the license to round these people up and to silence them. It extended not only to other pastors who read from the pulpit Luther's sermons, but it also included those who printed Luther's works. So these printers that printed Reformation material were doing this in dangerous circumstances. The religious authorities, the political authorities, could also shut them up. And there's more than one account of a printer who was printing and distributing Luther's works being arrested and thrown into jail.
And there may be a day when we see that again.
Could be. We forget. We take this for granted. You know, we think religious liberty, freedom of the press, this whole thing. But it wasn't. This was not true at the time of the Reformation, and we're going back kind of into the Dark Ages, as far as authorities wanting to censor what we as Bible-believing Christians want to share with the world.
Yeah. Well, thanks be to God, we still have that freedom to proclaim the good news of Jesus, to proclaim the Word of God, both law and gospel, here and in other ways.
Right. Well, I mean, KFUO is in that business, CHI is in that business, Concordia Publishing House is in that business. And so we see really close parallels between the time of the Reformation and the beginning of the LCMS. When Luther started making a sensation after the 95 Theses, what did they do? A printer set up shop in the basement of the Luther house where Luther lived in Wittenberg. Well, what was some of the first equipment that the Trinity Lutheran Church in downtown St. Louis with C.F.W. Walther as pastor, what was some of the first equipment that they purchased was a printing press and put it in the basement to print C.F.W. Walther's Der Lutheraner, which, again, even before the synod was formed officially, this is how the faithful understanding of Luther and the confessions went out to all parts of America and brought people in to partner with the LCMS and sometimes to join her. This came through the printing press.
That's interesting that it was put in the basement. It seems that we as a church, if we have a form of mass media to use, we either put it in the basement or the attic.
Mm-hmm.
Printing press put in the basement, the radio station put in the attic.
Well, this was part of the walking tour on Saturday, is the beginnings of CPH. I mean, after Trinity said, hey, you know, this is too much to print everything with this newly formed synod, they purchased another printing press and put it on the seminary grounds there on Jefferson. And again, yeah, for a while it was in a closet or in a shed or in a basement or something like that. But I think more and more people realized, hey, this is an integral part of the life of the church. And I think we see that even on the congregational level today, that it's we're called to do more than okay, we've got our doctrine straight, but it's sowing the seed in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and websites, literature in the narthex, handouts in the service bulletin on Sunday, good, solid, meaty Bible studies, not only for the children, right? Not only for the confirmation class, but for adults too. This continues to be the legacy that we've inherited from Luther and the Reformers.
Well, may we continue to proclaim that good news of Jesus, even as we learn from our history.
And sharing links to KFUO.
Right. And ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. Well, what are we looking forward to next week?
So, again, we encourage people, go to LutheranReformation.org, check out the Bible study, the handout, and the flyer on Johannes Gutenberg. That can be, again, downloaded for free and used in Bible studies. In any congregation, it's all for the taking. So we're getting ready. We won't announce who the face of the Reformation is for next month.
Just got to wait and see.
You got to wait and see. But we want to encourage people. We've got the CHI Q, the quarterly, being mailed out. So summer is done, and new New quarterly
on the way. All right, very good. Thank you, Dr. Harmelink. Have a wonderful weekend.
Blessings, Andy.
Thanks. Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.